Well, now that's kind of shifting. We're seeing that shift now and saying, yeah, AI is going to take your job unless you evolve.
Many of us are looking to leverage AI, candidly, to kick the big guy's butt.
You should not be forcing your business to fit an AI tool or any technology tool.
I've spent 50 years working my tail off, and I'm still working my tail off, but I'm getting a whole lot more done all of a sudden.
More done, exactly. It's in a different way. It collapses time. It's a huge assist.
I need my team to figure out how to use it, because if I can integrate it within my team, we can then really affect some incredible changes in time saving.
And that's what our artificial intelligence allows us to do. And I'm just sitting there.
Hi, and welcome to the AI Transformation Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Mast, and I'm really excited today to have with me Dr. Kim. Dr. Kim and I have been chatting a little bit offline and a little bit beforehand, and I'm really excited to hear her story, to hear her perspectives on AI and all that. So, Dr. Kim, welcome, and thanks for joining me. I know we've had a couple of scheduling snafus along the way, so thank you so much for making time out of your day to join us today.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I'm so happy to be here. And you'd have to know that you are one of my favorite people on the internet when it comes to artificial intelligence. So I'm really, really jazzed to be here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, Dr. Kim, for people that are not familiar with you, could you take just a moment and share a little bit about yourself and who you serve and kind of what you do?
Absolutely. I am Dr. Kimberly West, and I am an AI consultant / contractor / educator. I've been working with artificial intelligence for almost 10 years now, having gotten started with it in the Microsoft suite of technologies, Microsoft 365 in particular, and that ecosystem. So I've been playing with it for a little while. I am a Microsoft engineer by trade and by profession, and have been a management consultant helping small and medium businesses grow in scale. So that's what I do now. I take artificial intelligence and marry it to sound business practices to help small and medium businesses grow in scale.
I love that. I love that you're very practical about it and you're focused there. So one of the reasons I was excited to chat with you, Dr. Kim, is that a lot of my audience, we don't talk about Microsoft Office 365 a whole lot, and we don't talk about Copilot a lot. Not because it's bad, it just doesn't seem to have the mind share, I'll say. I wouldn't say market share, but mind share. Can you talk to us a little bit from your perspective as a small to medium-sized business? Many of us who are using Microsoft products, why is Copilot make so much sense, and how does it differ from ChatGPT in that we know that Microsoft owns, 50%+ of OpenAI now? Mm-hmm. So can you give us a little insight there as a Microsoft certified trainer? Can you give us some information?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Copilot, the brain trust, the Copilot really was not meant for small and medium businesses. It really is Microsoft's enterprise play. So that's gotcha. That's one of the biggest reasons that you'll see that Microsoft 365 with Copilot is not being widely used or even widely adopted in small and medium businesses, nonprofits, even some government agencies. And the big difference between Copilot and ChatGPT, sorry about that.
To think for a second. That's okay. I know what you mean.
The big difference between Copilot and ChatGPT is that Copilot was meant to be ingrained, woven through the fabric of all Microsoft products. So the iteration that you're looking at right now, where you see it in Office 365 or Microsoft 365, it actually started before then. Copilot has been in existence in Dynamics, which is the CRM as well as the financial suite, much longer than it's been in the consumer side of Microsoft 365. So on that side, it struggled a little bit with the adoption. It struggled a little bit with its own identity. And I think it's doing the same thing in the small and medium business arena. Personally, as someone who's been working with Microsoft products for over 30 years, it's not the best tool for the small and medium business audience.
Well, first, let me thank you for being candid about that because my experience has been that, and I'm older than most people, definitely older than you, but I remember when I got into IT, at the time, we always kidded about the fact that nobody ever got fired for buying IBM. It was the most expensive, it wasn't
Exactly.
necessarily the best, but it was safe. If you were in an IT department and you bought IBM, the worst thing that was going to happen is somebody would say you spent too much money. That would be the worst, never anything. And I kind of get the impression with some Microsoft consultants today that Microsoft has moved into that role, which is you never get fired for buying Microsoft, meaning it's the safe bet. But I know when it comes to small and medium businesses, many of us are looking to leverage AI, candidly, to kick the big guy's butt. We want to use AI
Exactly.
to get that leverage. And I just want to thank you for not saying it is, boy, it's a perfect solution. I admittedly have used it very, very limitedly. So I'm not the expert to speak on that, but I appreciate your candidness in that area.
Oh,
From a small and
anytime.
medium business perspective, since it's available, again, so many of us are using Microsoft 365 and things like that, what do you recommend we do in evaluating what tools should be used? Now, keep in mind my perspective, and I don't know your Dr. Kim, but my perspective is any AI tool is likely significantly better than not using one. So whatever tools you have access to, I always tell my students, they go, what's the perfect tool? There isn't one.
There isn't one.
Whatever
There's no such
one
thing.
you have access to is probably sufficient to allow you to leap way ahead. And then down the road, you'll figure out new things. But as you're talking to small and medium businesses, how do you recommend they determine which AI platforms are right for them and their teams?
One of the things that I tell my clients as well as my students is that, and this kind of goes against the grain, is that you should not be forcing your business to fit an AI tool or any technology tool. Those technology tools might need to fit your business. So before you even start paying for a tool, before you bring a tool into your environment, you have to perform an analysis of your needs. What do you need the tool to do? And then you go out and find the appropriate tool that fits that business need instead of being, bringing in a tool and saying, well, it's not exactly what I need, but I'm going to make my business fit around it. No, that's backwards. So, as you just said, there's no such thing as a perfect tool. First thing you have to do, look at your business, look at the way you run your business, look at the way you want to run your business, and then take a look at the tools that can help you do that.
I love that you're taking a look at it from that perspective because I do think that's so important. It reminds me in another life, I actually sold IT services, and one of the things that we got asked all the time was about custom app development. And
Oh, yeah.
I remember at the time, one of the things I told people was, there are pluses and minuses to it, but I used that exact same line you did, which is you should never allow a developer to tell you how you want to run your business. In other words,
No.
you shouldn't be changing your successful business processes just because a developer sitting somewhere, anywhere in the world, determined that was not the way they wanted to do it. And so I really appreciate that perspective.
And developers are notoriously terrible business people.
Yes, they are.
Let's just put it where, let's just say what the truth. Developers are horrible business people. So if you have a developer telling you how to run your business or what tool to run your business with, you might want to double check that a little bit.
Yeah, I no knock on any developers out there. I have some friends that are, but most of them are now mature enough to understand that, you know what? Just like I'm terrible at operations, most developers are not particularly great entrepreneurs when they take a look at running businesses. So, yeah, totally get that. As you look at things and as businesses start, obviously, I'm assuming like me, you're dealing with a lot of businesses that are just now really getting into AI. They're finally accepting that, okay, this is here. It's not going away. I better learn to figure out how to use it. And as importantly, maybe more importantly, I need my team to figure out how to use it because if I can integrate it within my team, we can then really affect some incredible changes in time savings and profitability and value added to the customer and all that. How do you recommend businesses like that get started? I mean, what do they do? Because one of the most common things I hear, Dr. Kim, is I'm overwhelmed. I see there's so much news, there's so much information. And It's that analysis by paralysis. We don't even know where to start. Or paralysis by analysis. I think I said that wrong. Sorry, but they
Paralysis of
just don't know where to
analysis.
start.
Well, the thing is that if you have a team, going to your team and finding out what their frustration is, where their pain points are, is one of the best things you can do. Because you, as the head of the business, you have one perspective, but your team has a completely different perspective because they're the ones who are working in the business. So find out what their pain points are, find out where the bottlenecks are, find out where they think that they could use the assistance. Also, you have to gauge, especially now since AI is really, really starting to take hold in small and medium businesses, find out what kind of resistance you might have from your team in the adoption of AI or AI tools. People for a long time, what did we say? AI is not going to take your job. Someone who knows how to use AI in your job is going to take your job. Well, now that's kind of shifting. We're seeing that shift now and saying, yeah, AI is going to take your job unless you evolve. So you're going to have to, you might have to do some, a little bit of massaging of feelings, and make sure that your team knows that you are bringing in AI to assist, not replace. So that's number one. Number two, finding out their frustrations, their pain points, finding out also how agile they are in upskilling. Upskilling the American workforce, whether it's a small business or it's a Fortune 500 company, is the basically the name of the game for the next year or so because this stuff moves so fast. Think about it. Think of where we were 6 months ago, a year ago, when it came to video and image generation. It's a
Absolutely.
whole different world right now. So,
An entirely different world. I mean, it's I think back, it's interesting. We think back just to the beginning of the year. So as we're recording this, that was just about 5 months ago. And the incredible changes that we've things that didn't exist in January, that as we record this in early June, are widely available. Deep research is a prime example. The video capabilities, the photo capabilities, the things that have happened with ChatGPT 4.0 and Midjourney, and all, I mean, we could
And
go on and on with
everything,
the different models. I
exactly.
mean,
And Sora and Gemini and Veo and HeyGen. It's just, oh my, it's
yeah,
mind-boggling.
let's face it, in January, Google didn't, in my opinion only, Google didn't have an AI product that mattered, that was relevant. It was,
No,
it's,
they did
oh.
not.
But Gemini 2.5, I'll tell you, it is my go-to for deep research at this point, partly because I get 20 searches a day as opposed to per month with ChatGPT, but it is incredibly good.
But
And
that's also because it's backed by Google. Google knows
well, which
everything
makes
about
sense. I mean,
everybody.
finally, I mean, Google should have had this AI thing. I'm sorry, my soapbox. They should have had this AI thing in the bag from day one because Google has all the data. They've got more data than anybody else does.
They
And
do.
yet, I don't know if they weren't ready or if they got caught flat-footed. I'm not inside at Google at all, but I know until 2.0 came out, I always said, if you're using Google, I'm sorry. I mean, it was terrible because half the time it would tell you I'm a large language model. I'm not capable of doing what you just asked me to do. And I'm like, but you
Literally, it
just,
would say that to you.
yeah, you, but you just did it 30 minutes ago. No, I'm sorry. I can't do that.
No rhyme or reason. Just it did just it did not compute. But now 2.5 is
I think it's, I mean, it's a top-notch player in my mind. I
it
don't know how
is.
you feel about it, Dr. Kim, but I mean,
No, I absolutely
it
agree.
can hold its own.
And now it can. It absolutely can. And when it first came out, I remember seeing articles, oh, it's eating ChatGPT for lunch. Well, it was.
So that kind of brings to mind some of the tools we haven't talked about that we don't hear about as often, but one of the things I think we're going to see a lot of changes in is what I'm referring to, at least I'm not sure everybody is agentic AI, things like Manus, the brand new labs from Perplexity. I know ChatGPT has their own version, but it's $200 a month. So at least most of my users aren't paying any attention to it because they're not ready to invest that much per month per user. And I get that. I'm no offense. What are your thoughts on these agentic tools that instead of us saying, here, do this, then do this, then do this, that we can give an objective or a goal to, and it figures out the steps to take and then executes on those steps. Any thoughts, any insights, any wisdom there, Dr. Kim?
Absolutely, thoughts. I actually just did a podcast episode of my own on just beginning a series on agentic artificial intelligence. It is that's the buzzword for the rest of 2025 and way into 2026. Gone are the days, or at least they're fleeting, are the days where you're just giving an LLM one command after another after another. You can give these things an entire project.
Yeah,
And just
literally.
tell it, go forth and go finish this. Give it your kid's science project when school starts up again. Give it your kid's project. I have a friend of mine who just finished, who just defended for her PhD, and she used Manus as part of the research as well as part of, writing her papers. And I'm seeing graduate students do the same thing, and they're not giving it prompt by prompt. They're giving it the
No.
entire rubric. You just give it the rubric and
Exactly.
go forth and go do what you need to do, and I'll come back and I'll edit.
Well, and that's what's been amazing to me, just in my use of it, even the ability to go in and say, I did one the other day. So I was teaching a course, and somebody said, "Hey, can we put together a guide on how we turn you? You've kind of told us how to make this a business, but we're practical. We need a step by step, Jonathan. We want to read it. I'm not a PowerPoint guy, so I'm just, let me teach you how to do it." I went over to Manus and I basically uploaded that day's training, the transcript, said, "I need to create a guide. I want here's the goal of the guide. Here's what I want it to do, and ask me any questions you have." And I sent it to go. It asked me two or three quick clarifying questions. It ran for about 45 minutes. And I'm telling you, Dr. Kimmett came back with a document that was 98 to 99% perfect. And here's the part that most people missed. Yes, we had to tweak a couple little things, minor. But in many ways, it was better than what I and my team would have written had we had the time to do it. And that was a big part. We didn't have the time to do it. But when I could go to Manus, and by the way, it cost me about $2 to have Manus create this and then have my team go through and proofread it as they would anything that we did. Now, all of a sudden, I'm able to deliver massive value to my audience in a
And
way that I could have
quickly.
never done before, and that I can't see any downside. I mean, I told them, yeah, I used Manus to create this. I mean, of course, that's what I do. It's what you do. Why am I, yeah, I used, but they're even like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Because in a month or two ago, we would have had to write the outline. Okay, now expand on the outline. Now write
Brainstorming, exactly.
Every section of everything so that, I mean, it would have taken, even with
And then
good
proofread it all.
prompting. Yeah, it would have taken half a day to a day plus proofreading. Literally, my involvement, because I did something else while it thought for the 45 minutes. My involvement was about 10 minutes in writing and explaining, just as I would to you, Dr. Kim, if we were collaborating on a project. I didn't do some special prompt. I didn't, okay, let's get the magic out and try to do this formula. I literally chatted with it as though you and I were having a
We're having a
conversation.
conversation,
And I was
exactly.
explaining, Dr. Kim, this is what I need. What questions do you have? I'll answer those and go. And blown
And
away how well it worked.
one of my favorite parts about Manus, or any LLM really, but particularly the agentive LLMs, is that once it gets to that point, it gets you can ask it, well, how can I make this better?
Yes.
And it will come up with all sorts of ideas and angles and things that you did not even think of. And it just makes it that much better. Last year, I wrote a book. And since we know that AIs moves literally at the speed of light, okay, I wrote it in September. By October, it was obsolete.
Oh,
So
yeah.
it needed to be updated. So I said, okay, let's take a chance. And I took the book and I fed it into Manus and I told it what I was looking for, how I wanted it to be updated, suggested some graphics, et cetera. And I said, asked it to analyze the book first and give me tips on how it could be better for 2025. And it gave me some incredible ideas, some things that I had not thought about. And then it proceeded to rewrite the entire book and throw in graphics and some other things. And I'm just sitting there. Manus and tools like Manus collapse time. And I think
Yes,
that's
thank you.
That's one of the biggest benefits to it. It collapses time. It's a huge assist, but it collapses time and it allows us to be more productive and do other things, but it also allows us to do things faster. And that is the portion, that's the part of artificial intelligence I want small and medium businesses to focus on.
I love that. And you're going right where I wanted to go, which is apart from the tools, and we could talk about them all day long and geek out on them. The thing that gets me so excited, and people always go, Jonathan, why did you move from digital marketing and running an agency into teaching people how to use AI? The reason for me was so incredibly simple. And that's the fact that AI now allows us to deliver so much more value to our audience because, like you said, it compresses time. The request I had, the people that requested it already paid for my course. They didn't pay me any more money to go write this. Ended up being a 57-page guide, by the way. I didn't get any more money for that. And it's fine, I don't need any more. But in the past, I
The
wouldn't have
value you
had
were
the
able to give.
resources or the time to create this comprehensive value. And now I can. And it still benefits me because guess what? I went and, of course, we made a beautiful cover and we sent it out. And I told everybody, hey, everybody's getting this. They took my course and we sold a bunch more courses. So, I mean, it benefited me. I'm not saying that. But to me, the real value to small businesses is every small and medium business owner I know has more to do every day than they have time. And for once in our life, we can actually not only get our work done, but we can take some of those things that's on that never-ending list of tasks that we want to get to someday and do them. Or if you're ADHD like I am, you can literally have an idea and go, you know what? I got 30 minutes. Let's make it happen right now. And
Exactly. Oh, that's the mind blower.
you can do days worth of work
In just a couple of
in 30
hours.
minutes. I love it. Okay, yeah, you're on the same page as I am then.
Oh yeah, I absolutely am. Just like, oh, and I get ideas constantly. My brain is never off. So I have these notebooks and I've gone back and looked like 5 years ago, notebooks from 5 years ago, and just little things that I've jotted down that I really wanted to develop, but I did never had the time to. Well, now I'm working through those notebooks, but every time I get a cute idea right now, I can just throw it into Manus, or I can throw it partially into Perplexity and some other things that we're working with. And I can have more than a draft. I can have an MVP, a minimum viable product, actually, within 30 to 45 minutes. Something that would have taken me an entire day previously to hash out.
And
So, yes.
that's what's so exciting, especially when we're talking business. You know, the small and medium-sized businesses, we need MVPs. We need those minimum viable products that we can launch and find out was there interest. Because, you know, our visionary entrepreneurs, I am one of them, we have these ideas and sometimes we're spot on. Sometimes we're not. Okay, maybe most of the time we're not, I'll even say. But it was always, I mean, I literally, in fact, we just moved. And so we went through a bunch of boxes that my wife had from years ago. Steno pads that I used to use because I love steno pads because I could flip them and I could keep notes. And so I've used them for decades. I have decades worth of them in boxes. Ideas that I wanted to get to someday. And you know what? Very few, as in only a few pages of those steno notes, ever got looked at after I wrote them down because something else would happen. And there'd be, but AI actually gives me the ability to go, oh, that's a great idea. You know, last night, I don't tend to work on the weekends, but last night somebody
Validated.
commented and said, hey, you know, when you get a chance, if you ever thought about doing an update to something that I published about 6 months ago. My wife and I are actually literally out camping for the summer. We're sitting around the campfire. I'm on my phone. I don't even have my computer because it's in my office. And I was able to use AI to update all of that on my phone and send it back out. And it took like 10 minutes. It wasn't a big deal.
No,
And
and
these
now
are things
you're
that,
able to
again,
give that value back.
I would have. Just 2 years ago, I would have had to have a meeting with my team and said, hey, we need to put this on the agenda. Doesn't need to be a top priority, but we do need to get it done. It's been time to go. My team and I would have probably all spent time on that, total people hours, many hours combined. And the reality is, as a result, most of those things just wouldn't get done because they never, while they were important, they were never urgent, if that makes sense. And the
It
thing
makes
I
sense.
love about AI is that now, again, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as a business leader, I can start focusing on those important things that every coach has told me for my entire life. Jonathan, stop focusing on the urgent, focus on the important. Doesn't mean I did, but now
Yeah,
I can
right.
actually do that. And that to me is just like, man, I've spent 50 years working my tail off and I'm still working my tail off, but I'm getting a whole lot more done all of a
More
sudden.
done, exactly. It's in a different way, and you're in more control of your time and what you spend your time working on.
100%.
I've been digitizing my father's papers. My father just retired for the third time, hopefully the final time.
I think I'd like him.
Yeah, and another entrepreneur, so I get it, honest, it's in the family blood. But he finally retired. He's also an ex university professor, so he has file cabinets full of papers, and I'm using Manus and a good old scanner to digitize his work, to digitize his papers, and basically creating a digital version of him. So that's where, I mean, that's where I get a lot of my business advice, and a lot of people, other people get that, a lot of the business advice. But think about it, being able to go back and take 50 years of entrepreneur wisdom, as well as, being an economics professor wisdom, put it into an agentive AI model, and reap the benefits of that.
Oh, I agree. It's so amazing. And the ability to start connecting with third-party apps and all that. Now, of course, that brings us to a fear point that I hear almost every day. Jonathan, this is great, but what are we going to do when it decides it doesn't want to turn off? I've got my own thoughts about that. I'd love to hear yours, Dr. Kim. By the way, for the audience, Dr. Kim and I have not talked about this, so I have no idea what her perspective is on these things. So that's part of what makes these conversations fun. But I'd love to hear your perspectives. How do you answer that question, which is, yeah, this is great, but what about when it doesn't want to be turned off?
You just take the plug out of the wall. I mean,
Oh, if my wife heard you say that, she would give you the biggest hug. That's what she says all the time. She goes, you just pull the plug.
the plug. And I'm saying that, okay, before I was in software, let's face it, I was in hardware. So I used to wire networks. I used to wire the networks in buildings. So yes, I can punch down a six pair and in a five pair, and connect your servers and all that other stuff. So when I say that, I say it flippantly, but I also say it quite honestly, unplug it.
Yes.
Will we ever allow it to get to that point? I think that there are enough people who are around, that we have enough guardrails around artificial intelligence, so that it will not become sentient, so it won't
Yes.
become, to say, oh no, you can't turn me off. I forgot which movie it was. It escapes me, but I think you know which one I'm talking about. Yeah, I don't. And when, what was it? When Microsoft's Bing first started hallucinating, and it was telling people, "Oh, I want to be human like you." Yeah, the ghost was in the machine, and I really think that some developers were having some fun with us. That's just my personal take
Well,
on
and
it.
that's my take on so many. Over the weekend, I saw somebody in my group. They'd posted that, uh-oh, look at the responses I got. And I'm like, and it was basically saying that, AI was trying to talk about how, it wants to be there for us on an everyday basis and it wants to be there for all this stuff. And it was definitely overreaching. And I'm like, can you share all the prompts you did up to this point?
Exactly.
And
There's a
miraculously,
precursor to that.
that thread went dead at that point because
Yeah.
no, they didn't want to share. Because you and I both know I can go into virtually any AI model and I can berate it into saying most anything I want because it acts like I don't know what, but it gets to some point, it goes, fine, Dr. Kim, I'm not here to win anymore. If you want
Exactly.
me to say that, I'll say that. No problem.
Yep. I don't know what you want me to say. I don't know what you want me to do, so I'm just going to say this, and it might be the craziest thing that I can quote unquote think of saying. But at the end of the day, all of this artificial intelligence, it's all just data. That's all
Exactly.
it is. It's
Yeah,
all
it's
just
zeros and
data, and
ones.
exactly. I was going to say it's all binary code. It's all data, and it's data that we have given it. So if we want it to not act in a particular way, then we don't give it that data. It's not as complicated as some people want you to think it is.
Well, it goes on both sides, because those same people are the ones complaining that we can't trust AI because it keeps hallucinating and lying. And I'm like, okay, you're telling me AI can't figure out what to do. And then in the next breath, you're telling me it's going to take over. This is the same reason we never let, and pardon me, I know you're a Microsoft person, but this is why we never let Microsoft create operating systems for vehicles that were self-driving, because you can't just be going 85 miles an hour down the road and decide that you get the blue screen of death and need to reboot. It doesn't
exactly work that way. I'm with you on that. And as much as a Microsoft person I am, I will tell you very quickly when Microsoft is not the answer.
Yeah,
because we don't need those kinds of problems.
Well, and I think it kind of brings us full circle back to the right, what's the perfect app? There is no one app that's the answer for everything. Earlier today, somebody said, so Jonathan, what one app can I go to that'll write a video script, that'll create my images, that'll create my videos, that'll create my marketing, it'll publish everything to YouTube, and then it'll help me fulfill the orders. And I'm like, there isn't one.
There isn't one. And if there were, why would you want it?
Well, and the example it I used be- was, we've been using the entire Microsoft Office suite or the Google Workspace suite, whatever you want, and they all have a word processor, they have a spreadsheet program, they have a presentation program, they may have others, but just take those three. Every major Office suite has those, and it's not one app. They can speak to each other, but it's not one app.
Exactly.
We've been dealing with that now for over 30 years, and it's not one app. That one app isn't likely, in my mind, to ever exist. And if it is, it's going to be like all those that have tried in the past, and there's going to be so many compromises, I believe,
exactly,
that you need to make to use that. It's not going to be useful for most people.
Not only compromises, but if one piece of it breaks, it's going to basically, it's a trickle down, almost a domino effect. If your word processor breaks, then it's going to wind up affecting your spreadsheet and your presentation, just using that as the example. So no, I don't think we should ever have that one app that does everything for us.
Yeah, no, I'm entirely agreement with you. Well, Dr. Kim, I have no doubt we could talk for hours about this. There's probably been a topic or two that I haven't brought up that you think is really important to us. What have I missed that you think is really relevant that we talk about today before we bring the plane in for a landing?
My biggest push right now, and what I'm seeing a lot of, and in small and medium businesses, also in the corporate sector, because I'm getting the phone calls, is this whole idea around cloning of voices and cloning of images. We can use artificial intelligence for great good, or we can use it for great evil. And cloning is one of those pieces of AI where we really can use it for evil, or we can use it for good. I'm sure everybody's heard the stories of, people being called by loved ones and, they've been kidnapped or they're looking for money. And lo and behold, it just happens to be someone whose voice was cloned. However, we talked about AI being a great collapser of time. What about using clones of yourself to teach classes? Create evergreen content.
We're talking about doing that right now.
Yeah, bi-directional communication on your website, where it's either you or an avatar that you've created, and it's infused with your FAQ. And instead of people emailing you and asking you questions, they can literally have a conversation with this avatar that's on your website.
Mm.
So now when people have been talking about, well, AI is so impersonal and it's so this, it's so that, it's so sterile. Now we're starting to be able to put a human face back onto it.
Yes.
And those human faces look real and the actions are real. So that's what I am seeing a lot of. I'll be honest, we have a lot of education coming up about cloning and using it in your business to, again, collapse time. But I see that... for people who are neurodivergent, I am an extreme introvert. I hate being on camera. I hate being in places, especially crowds of people. I can take my clone and I can send my clone out to the internet and have it do my bidding, whatever it is that I need it to do, and I can keep my little safe space bubble.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I see it assisting in that way, and I see it assisting the elderly as well. being able to, as I said, I'm cloning, well, basically taking my father's papers and digitizing them, digitizing people. You know, my dad's in his 80s, and we're none of us are going to be here forever.
Correct.
But to be able, you know, 20 years from now, to be able to go to an avatar or some place that I've created on the internet and have a conversation with my dad, who may not be here anymore, sounds a little creepy, but it's also
funny. See, that's actually something that I think we aren't. And again, there's so much about AI, we don't even know what we don't know. So preface it with that. But to me, my father's passed, my grandfather's are passed. The value and even the amount of money that I would invest to be able to talk to a representation of my father, of my grandfathers, that was trained on who they were based upon, not made up, but literally based upon that. To me, that's one of the most exciting things in the world, because imagine 20, not just 20 years from now, but maybe 200 years from now. My great, 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 great grandson's children, who I will have never met, could go, who was this Papa Jonathan guy with the big white beard? And why did he always wear baseball caps? And, you know, who knows what's relevant? But I mean, even thinking back to the turn of the century, as in the 1900s, I don't know my relatives from back then. But if the technology existed and the data was there, and of course we're creating tons of data now, and I had the ability to sit on a holodeck, so to speak, and carry on a conversation with a representation of that, to me, yeah, I know some people, they don't like it. To me, that would just be amazing.
Invaluable.
Imagine just the simple stuff. Imagine being married and losing a spouse and being able to, you know, maintain that, especially as you get older. I mean, it's one thing if you lose a spouse and you're younger, but, you know, as you get older and older, you're less likely to get remarried. It can be very lonely. Imagine having that ability. I have a friend that's actually doing this for dementia patients. Because
I'm seeing a lot of that work. Yes.
You know, if you've ever dealt with anybody with dementia, the 17th time in the morning, they ask you the exact same question that they just asked you 3 minutes ago. As humans, we get frustrated. We try, but we get frustrated.
Yeah.
AI doesn't get frustrated. AI can answer that question 4 million times in a row with empathy and care, and it won't ever get frustrated. And that to me is what's so cool about the process.
Yeah. So those are the types of projects that are close to my heart. So there's a business side of it, but then there's also a very personal side of it. The children in our family, the eldest grandchild is 18, but the youngest is 11. Mm. And their children will probably never know my parents.
Sure.
But now they can, because we're collecting the data, we're collecting the videos, we're creating those interactions, and just creating an experience where it will be very much like sitting down with that person and having a video call with them.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. I think that's, you know, one of the most exciting things to me is knowing that there are advances coming along the way, Dr. Kim, that we can't even fathom at the moment. And being an opportunist, I'm not at all afraid of those advances. I think those are going to be exciting. I think it's going to be cool. I'm very positive on the future of AI and where it's going. As we bring in the plane for landing, I do want to ask you one more question that we referenced a little bit earlier. And that's, there's a real fear out there from people that they're going to be replaced by AI. Now, I'm still largely a proponent, and having studied history, that when the printing press came out, we were told the same things were going to happen. And then there was the steam engine, and then the internal combustion engine, and then there was the PC, and then the internet. In none of those cases was there a mass, like, oh my gosh, this massive part of society lost their jobs. Now, if they did, it's because then there were new opportunities. I mean, admittedly, all the buggy whip manufacturers started making cars at some point. What's your perspective, realistically? And again, I have friends in the AI that are on both sides of this issue. I'm really curious to know, where do you stand and what do you think the future holds as, maybe not a business leader at this point, but maybe an employee, a team member, somebody that doesn't desire to, what should they be doing to leverage AI to protect their future from your perspective?
we are all employees and business leaders alike. We're all going to have to reskill. And we're going to have to get good at reskilling. Think about it. At one point, we had IBM Selectric 3s in the office place, and that's how communications
yes,
got
we
done.
did.
Okay, does that tell you how old I am?
I remember them too, so it's all right. We're good. Yeah, you're just aging better than I am, then, Dr. Kim. No doubt.
I can just type almost 200 words a minute because of an IBM Selectric 3. But computers were introduced to the workplace, and we reskilled.
Yeah.
We figured it out, and we came back and found new opportunities, new ways of doing what we were previously doing. And even computers, the PC in its onset, collapsed time for us.
It did.
Artificial
Absolutely.
Intelligence is doing the exact same thing. Every industrial revolution, every technological revolution brings about strife. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, people get agita because, you know, oh, here's this new thing. But it also opens up a new world of opportunities if you keep your eyes and your ears open.
Yes.
The flip side of that, however, is that, and we definitely don't have time to go into this whole conversation, artificial intelligence has the ability to marginalize communities that have already been marginalized. And how we get around that, you know, this isn't the civil rights movement. How we get around that, how we mitigate that is going to require some very, very new thinking and new approaches.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's leave on a positive note. I totally agree with what you're saying. I have a lot of faith in humanity. We'll figure it out. What's one thing that you look at that we haven't talked about, if you can, and if not, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but one thing that we haven't talked about where you feel AI is going to make a positive impact in ways that we haven't seen before. And just to give you a moment to think about that, I'll share the one thing we haven't talked about that I think that I'm excited about. I believe that AI and education is actually going to become one of the super success stories because no longer is it going to matter the manner in which you learn, because we're not all going to have to sit in a classroom with 30 other students and learn the exact same way. We may have to learn the same things, but AI is going to give us the ability, and I'll use this example. If I'm learning algebra and I'm in the motorcycle, so AI could take that algebra lesson that the teacher's given and teach it to Jonathan in the context of motorcycles, because guess what? I'd then pay attention. My 17-year-old, who is now along through that, but he's always been interested in battleships for some reason. Don't know why, but it would be able to teach him algebra in the context of that. My other son has always been interested in heavy equipment, and he'd be able to learn algebra in that context. My wife, you know, she loves embroidery. She would be able to learn that concept through embroidery. To me, that's something that we're not seeing talked about a lot yet, that I absolutely believe is literally around the corner, in that we're going to be able to teach people in the manner that they need to learn, and we're going to be able to hopefully minimize this round peg square hole or square peg round hole aspect of education moving forward. So that's my one thing we didn't talk about at all. Maybe we'll have to come back and do that. But I'd love to, any one thing you've got that you want to throw in?
I absolutely. And interesting, I come from a long line of educators, both at the university level as well as the K-12 level. So you're absolutely right. Education is going to be turned on its head if we use AI correctly.
Yeah.
And kids are going to be, people will finally be able to learn more deeply, at a deeper level than, you know, everybody has to learn the same thing the same way. My one thing is healthcare. I have some clients in healthcare, and I'm seeing what artificial intelligence can avail us to in healthcare. And I am so hopeful for the preventative measures that can be undertaken using artificial intelligence, the personalization of medicine that can be undertaken when using artificial intelligence, down to the genome, all the way down to your genes, and having medicine specifically for that, or preventative measures specifically for that, in the way of Alzheimer's, in the way of dementia. I am so hopeful. And I am so excited about what artificial intelligence can do for us in healthcare. So that's my positive note.
And I agree with you entirely. I think that's, one of my favorite studies, and we'll wrap up on this, is that this happened last year, I think, but they've taken all of the studies on diabetes, because we don't have a cure for diabetes currently. And there's been studies for 50 plus years, and they had AI analyze it, and from what I understand, they've literally come up with some expected cures that are currently being tested. Not because AI created new data, not because AI found out something that didn't exist, but because AI took data that already existed and connected the dots in ways that we just haven't had time to do. And to me,
It's
that's
going to
what's
do the
so
same thing
exciting.
for cancer. It's going to do the same thing for cancer. It's going to connect the dots in a way that all it takes is just a tiny shift sometimes in the aspect of how you're looking at it. And that's what our artificial intelligence allows us to do, is just take that tiny shift and say, oh, connect the dots in a new way.
Well, Dr. Kim, this has been amazingly awesome. I've loved this conversation. If people want to reach out and connect with you, what's the best way for them to do so?
Well, I am very easy to find on Facebook. You can look up Dr. Kim or the AI Doctor. You can also find me at the Business of Artificial Intelligence. That is our Facebook group. And Dr. Kimberly West, easy to find as well.
Awesome. Dr. Kim, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Really appreciate you being with you. It's been a riot. May I ask you back at some point in time? I have a feeling we could have another four conversations easily.
We really could. I would love to come back, and it has been a blast, Jonathan. Thank you again for allowing me to sit here and have this great conversation with you. We've got so many other things to talk about.
We do. And for all of our listeners, either listening or watching online, thank you for joining us today. It's been a great pleasure. We'll catch you on the other side. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.